Let's go on the couch with psychotherapist Frank Rubino. Today's topic, why are some women true crime addicts? Wow, Frank, where did you come up with this idea today?
You know, it's been something I've been thinking about for a very long time. When you look at the population of people who watch the shows, the predominant, like 80% are women who watch the true crime shows and are drawn to the whole genre. And interestingly, there are also, I've always been very curious about the number of women who are attracted to serial killers and criminals of all different kinds, high profile ones. And I was always shocked at the trial where Ted Bundy was in his trial and a woman stood up and he proclaimed himself married to her in the moment.
Right.
These things are so fascinating to me.
Why do women do that, do you think?
Well, that, you know, it turns out there are a number of reasons why. Some of them are psychological in nature. Some are evolutionary. There's a psychological condition, hybristophilia, which is really that. It's the attraction to criminals, which is a very strange kind of psychological condition to have.
Never heard of that word before. Say it again.
Yeah, it's hybristophilia.
Hybristophilia.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, as it turns out, there are a number of reasons why women are attracted to men who are criminals, particularly popular ones, or popular is not the right word, famous ones,
I guess. Do they think they can change them? Or do they think that they are not the criminal they have?
No. So your first one's spot on. So part of it, as it turns out, is the desire to change, the desire to change this person. I can save this guy, turn him around. Part of it is that they are men who do those kinds of things, those commit those kinds of crimes, are high risk takers. And that's an exciting thing. And so for many women, they recognize that they're looking for an emotionally safe relationship. That guy's emotionally safe. He's physically not safe, but emotionally, it's a safe place to be because there's not going to be a lot of real deep connection. She's not going to get hurt.
Well,
it's not
she
emotionally
might get hurt.
If he's incarcerated, she won't. So there's a weird kind of, as long as he's in prison, this is a safe place to be.
Frank, are these women unbalanced psychologically?
Well, they're psychosocially imbalanced, I think, and because you cannot pursue a relationship with somebody in that condition if you are socially balanced correctly. There are things that are just not going to work right at all. And sometimes I think women are looking for that. They know that this is an impossible relationship, so they're going to be okay.
That's really interesting because it's almost like they protect themselves by going out on this huge limb.
Right. And the dangerous thing is if the person gets out, now it's a danger. And I think this is where the evolutionary part comes in. If you are with a dangerous man, then you are safe from other predators. A dangerous man will keep other predators away.
Oh, wow. This is too much for my head right now. So is someone who does that versus someone who just enjoys the genre of true crime movies and TV shows and real life murder mystery books, is that person different than the person who actually takes it upon themselves to be with someone like that?
Yes, because part of the draw, I think, for women to watch these shows and read these books is that they are also trying to formulate a way for them to be safe in their lives. So they look at these shows and they think, aha, these are the signs that I look out for. These are the keys, the red flags that I will look out for in an attempt to make themselves safe. They want to learn all about it. So they are different creatures.
I used to love reading that genre. I used to love reading about true crimes. I used to love watching it on TV. I can't stomach it anymore. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Maybe the last 10 years or so, I haven't delved into it the way I used to. I don't have time for one thing to read anything. But I just, I don't like it. And I don't like scary movies. I don't like anything like that. I just, I want to stay away from that. It just bothers me.
Yeah, and I think that for a lot of people, that becomes the case. I think when you're younger, there's a drive for that kind of excitement. And then maybe as you get a little older, you mellow out and you realize that this is not all that it's cracked up to be.
So should we worry about people like this?
I do. I worry about them psychologically because they put themselves in a position where they're going to be injured, and they're also robbing themselves of a possibility of having a good relationship today. Mm-hmm. If you are chasing after criminal elements and you're chasing after people you're trying to rescue, etc., you're setting yourself up for some massive heartbreak and maybe even some physical danger. So I really worry about them.
Isn't that also true when you chase after someone, it's an unrequited love? Someone who doesn't feel the same way, you're ruining your own life. You're waylaying being able to have enjoyment.
Well, it is. And what I would say is even worse about chasing after the criminal element is that they are incapable of maybe forming those kinds of bonds. But they also may decide to turn you into a victim as well. Maybe it's financially or something like that. Maybe not physically, but there's always ways that this can turn bad.
Definitely emotionally, though, as you stated earlier.
Yeah. And then I think that's one of the big keys for this, because you know, not every person who's a criminal is a serial killer, but they commit crimes for very specific reasons. And part of that is a little bit of antisocial feeling. And you don't want to get involved with somebody who's got antisocial tendencies.
We're talking with psychotherapist Frank Rubino. I want to broaden this just a little bit. So because there are people who tend to go for that excitement level, the risk taker out there, the person that's not available to them per se, I want you to paint for us what we should be looking for. What is a good quality human being? Yeah. What is the makeup of that person?
Yeah. So part of this is going to be consistency. Somebody who shows up when they're supposed to show up. Somebody who is driven to do the right thing. Maybe not always driven for financial success, but somebody who is driven to do the right thing all the time. Someone who is trustworthy. Someone who is kind, generous, and I think also someone who is willing to give up what they want, their desires, for the needs of their partner.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
I think
those are beautiful. Those are huge, huge things to look for.
And of course, we are imperfect people, so not everyone's going to be like that all the time. When does the red flag go up where you go, I need to get out of this? And is it the first time something happens?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think so. A couple things. One is you look at consistency as a history. You look at somebody's the totality of their life and you think, okay, what are the patterns here? Does this person have good, solid, long-term relationships, or do they only have short-term friendships? That's a big red flag. How is their relationship with their family? Are they estranged from their family? And you look into why that might be. So you look at a history of behavior, and then because we always say the best predictor for future behavior is past behavior. And so when you start to see some of these red flags pop up that look very similar to what the previous behavior is, it's probably a good indicator that you might want to get out.
All right, let's narrow that conversation back to the original, which was these women who go after these men who are incarcerated or who have committed heinous crimes. Why do we allow conjugal visits in prisons?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do not have an answer for you. I think that is one of the dumbest aspects of our criminal justice system. I cannot wrap my head around the idea. I heard a judge one time say that he believed that it was a constitutional right for everybody to be able to have children.
What constitution is he talking about?
Yeah, good question. I think they wrap it around the pursuit of happiness.
You've ruined your pursuit of happiness by taking away someone else's life or whatever you did to be incarcerated.
I would argue that as well, but not everybody sees it that way. In fact, one of Charles Manson's number one guys was able to get married and have children while in prison. Oh. So Tex Watson. So
really?
It's this whole thing is so strange to me. But so I don't know why they allow that, but they do.
Wow. All right. So let's bring it home for everyone here. What do we take away from this conversation with you, Frank?
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing is asking yourself, if you're one of those females who is enthralled with this type of genre, that's okay. Ask yourself a couple of questions. Why? If you have a tendency to be attracted to the kind of men that we've been talking about today, you should really hit the brakes and start asking yourself some very serious questions and maybe give one of my colleagues a call.
Frank Rubino, he's a psychotherapist practicing out of Plymouth, Michigan. You can find him and book him for that meeting, for that office appointment, by Googling Frank Rubino, R-U-B-I-N-O, and Psychology Today. You'll find his landing page there. Read all about his bio in there. He's currently working on his PhD. Great talking with you, Frank. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lucienne.
All right, I got to go throw away all the true crime books. And you're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, the Lucienne Land Show, 1290 WLBY.